Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All right, so we're reading today. We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 15, titled The Lord Accepts Prasadam at the House of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And we're going to begin from verse 103, which in fact we read yesterday. Last week we read, but we got partway through the discussion which evolved from it, so we should go back over that, because it's very important and it's very interesting indeed. Yeah. All right, so verse 103. Grihasta vishai ami kimora sadane shri mukhe agyakaro prabhu nivede charane. Satyaraj Khan said, "My dear Lord, being a householder and a materialistic man, I do not know the process of advancing in spiritual life. I therefore submit myself unto your lotus feet and request you to give me orders." Prabhu kahen Krishna seva Vaishnava sevana Nirantara kara Krishna Nama sankirtana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Without cessation, continue chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. Whenever possible, serve him and his devotees, the Vaishnavas." Satyaraja Bale Vaishnav Chiniba Ke Mane Ke Vaishnava Kahatanra Samanya Lakshane. Upon hearing this, Satyaraj said, "How can I recognize a Vaishnav? Please let me know what a Vaishnav is. What are his common symptoms?" So this is extremely important question from Satyaraj Khan, who is one of the residents of Kulinagram, and who is the brother of Gunaraj Khan, who's more or less the leader of the Vaishnavas from Kulinagram. Yeah. Very important question. How can we recognize a devotee? Please let me know what a devotee is. What are his common symptoms? And Lord Chaitanya is about to answer that question in a very profound way. Last week, we just read part of the purport, or we commented on part of the purport. I want to read the whole thing again. Prabhu kahe yamra mukhe shuni ekabara Krishna nama se puja Shrestha sabakara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. As we explained last week, the inhabitants, the residents of Kulina Gram ask this question, well, particularly Satyaraj Khan and Gunaraj Khan, who are the leaders, and they're representing the other Vaishnavas of Kulina. So they asked every year for 3 years, this is the first time, they asked the same question. How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? And Lord Chaitanya, every year for 3 years, he gave 3 different answers on 3 different levels. the first time, he's giving an answer on the level of Kanishta Adhikari. Or, in certain respects, you could say pre-Kanishta Adhikari. Someone who's right at the beginning, or at the beginning of the beginning, or just about to begin, you could say something like that. Of being or becoming a Vaishnav, yes, it's very relevant. Very relevant for so many people, including many of us. So here's the answer, the first answer. How can you recognize a beginning Vaishnav, basically? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable, and is the topmost human being. So let's read the purport. We did read it, actually, but let's read it again and comment on the whole thing. We just commented on the first paragraph, actually, last week. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that a person who simply chants the holy name of Krishna once becomes perfect and should be regarded as a Vaishnava. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. With such faith in the holy name, one may begin a life of Krishna consciousness. But an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. Just a sec, I'm going to just try something here. What am I? Oh, I am the host. Okay. All right. not anywhere. All right, so let me just carry on. So, one should have faith. Enough faith to at least chant the name of Krishna one time. And not just in some silly, foolish way, but with some trust in the holy name, with some acceptance of the holy name as being not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that faith. So an ordinary person cannot chant the holy name of Krishna with such faith. One should accept the holy name of Krishna to be identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendence himself. As the Padma Purana states, the holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a Chintamani gem, a touchstone. That name is Krishna personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. Devotees, I'm just going to try something else with our, unfortunately, incredibly problematic Hindi translation. Anyway, I'm not going to. I'm just going to continue. I'm sorry. It's too much. The holy name of Krishna is identical with Krishna and is like a Chintamani gem, a touchstone. That name is Krishna personified in sound and is therefore perfectly transcendental and eternally liberated from material contamination. Thus, one should understand that the name Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Actually, I'm going to try. He said, no, I'm not. It's too much. I'm sorry. Thus, one should, having such faith, one must continue to chant the holy name. When one is situated on the neophyte platform, one cannot understand the devotional ingredients of a pure unalloyed devotee. However, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. Anyone can take advantage of hearing about Krishna consciousness from such a devotee and thus gradually become purified. In other words, any devotee who believes that the holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord is a pure devotee, even though he may be in the neophyte stage, by his association, others may also become devotees, but may become Vaishnavas. Yes. When one is one is known as a materialistic devotee if he simply worships the deity of Hari with faith, but does not show proper respect to the devotees and to others. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.47. Archayam eva haraye pujam yad shradayehate na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smrita. Which is saying, actually, Prabhupada has already given the translation just immediately above, that if one worships the deity, Haraye Pujam, if one worships Hari, Shradhayehate, with some faith, Na tad bhakteshu chanyeshu, but does not show proper respect to the devotees, then this is bhakta prakrita smrita. This person is known as a prakrita bhakta. Okay, yeah, so even though Prabhupada didn't give the translation the usual way he does, but we can pick it up from the purport. Yet even by associating with such a neophyte devotee, one can become a devotee also. When Lord Chaitanya was teaching Sanatan Goswami, he said, Shradavan janahaya bhakti adhikari uttama madhyama kanishta shraddha anusari yahara kamala shraddha se kanishta jana krame krame teno bhakta hai be uttama rati prema taratamye bhakta taratama, which means a person who's attained firm faith is a real candidate for advancing in Krishna consciousness. According to the faith, there are first class, second class, and neophyte devotees. One who has preliminary faith is called a Kanishta Adhikari, or a neophyte. The neophyte, however, can become an advanced devotee if he strictly follows the regulative principles set down by the spiritual master. Therefore, it is on the basis of faith and attachment to Krishna that one can judge who is a Madhyam Adhikari or an Uttama Adhikari. And this is being quoted from Madhya Leela chapter 22, verses 64, 69, and 71. It is thus concluded that even a neophyte devotee is superior to the karmis and jnanis because he has full faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord. A karmi or a jnani, regardless of his greatness, has no faith in Lord Vishnu, his holy name, or his devotional service. One may be advanced religiously, but if he's not trained in devotional service, he has very little credit on the transcendental platform. Even a neophyte devotee engaged in deity worship, in accordance with the regulations set forth by the spiritual master, is in a position superior to that of the fruitive worker and speculative philosopher. So, yes, devotees. This is interesting, isn't it? In that, there's this whole discussion which is going to evolve from here, as we said, on a yearly basis. On a yearly basis, how can we recognize a devotee? What are the symptoms? Which, as we said, Lord Chaitanya is going to answer in three ways, describing how you can recognize devotees on three different levels. And this particular time here, the first time, it's about the neophyte. So, so the thing is that, well, from this you could say, there are neophytes and neophytes. The type of neophyte being described in this verse, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. This type of neophyte is not exactly a neophyte as we might, or, you know, a pre-neophyte. This is a person who, even though they're beginners, they do have the type of faith, at least some of the faith that Prabhupada has talked about, means the faith that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna are not different. When that person chants a little, and generally, of course, they won't just chant a little, but they'll chant progressively. But even if they just chant a little, if they have that faith, then they're considered like bona fide neophyte devotees. And because they have that faith, then if at some point they give their association to someone else, then that person can be influenced, and may become a devotee. Yes. So therefore, in this context, as Prabhupada says, here it's almost an astonishing type of statement. Prabhupada says that, when the novice engages in devotional service, especially in deity worship, and follows the order of a bona fide spiritual master, he is a pure devotee. We might not have expected to hear that. I remember the first time I read that long ago, I was taken aback that a Kanishtha, as long as they have this sort of faith, can possibly be considered a pure devotee. If they're following the instructions of the spiritual master very carefully, and if they have that faith, so this, of course, for that to happen, it's not going to be so common. It's not going to be so common. But we do remember that one conversation of Srila Prabhupada's, which we mentioned very recently also, that Prabhupada was asked how many pure devotees in ISKCON. At that time, it was really in the beginning of ISKCON. And Prabhupada asked that there were three temples. New York, San Francisco, and Montreal had just started. And Prabhupada was in Montreal, as I recall. And so Prabhupada asked his assistant, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? And his assistant counted up, well, in New York there's about so many, San Francisco about so many, here in Montreal there's not so many, but there's however many, roughly. And he said, Prabhupada, in ISKCON, there are about 120 devotees. And Srila Prabhupada turned to the person who'd asked him, how many pure devotees are there in ISKCON? And Srila Prabhupada said, in ISKCON, there are 120 pure devotees. So, you know, of course, to be living in a temple, or even if not living in a temple, but to have some acceptance of Krishna consciousness and to be trying to follow the instructions of a spiritual master or of Srila Prabhupada, this would then tend to mean that you're included in that category of those who have faith that the holy name and the Lord are one and the same. And you're following the instructions. So therefore, this concept can be applied. Of course, one has to be a little careful because the person has to really be following the instructions. If they're following to some degree, but then to some other degree, they're actually engaged materially or like more seriously materially influenced, then you couldn't say that this person is a pure devotee. They have to really be following very seriously, despite their lack of qualification in many respects. But as long as they're really following and they have some faith in the holy names, as we mentioned, then they could be considered pure devotees. Let's continue. Eka Krishna Name Kare Sarva Papakshaya Navavida Bhakti Purna Nama Haite Haya. Translation. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna once, a person is relieved from all the reactions of a sinful life. One can complete the 9 processes of devotional service simply by chanting the holy name. So this is Lord Chaitanya again, and he's expanding on this idea which he's just spoken. So, purport. The 9 types of devotional service are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. Iti Pumsarpita Vishno, Bhaktischen Navalakshana, Creator Bhagavat Yadha, Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam, which means the process of devotional service entails hearing, chanting, and remembering the holy name, form, pastimes, qualities, and entourage of the Lord, offering service according to the time, place, and performer, worshipping the deity, offering prayers, always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna, making friends with him, and dedicating everything unto him. These 9 items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. Can you check if we are being broadcast in the different places? So that was the translation of that verse. As for being freed from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of Krishna only once, one must chant the holy name without committing any offenses. Then chanting one name is sufficient to rescue a living being from all sinful reactions. Such a person who chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly is very important and worshipable. Indeed, the 9 devotional processes, beginning with Shravana and Kirtana, can all be attained at once if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord offenselessly. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami states in his book, Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 173, Yadyapi Anya Bhakti Kalo Kartavya, Tada Kirtanakya Bhakti Samyogenaiva. Out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Kirtan is very important. Srila Jiva Goswami therefore instructs that the other processes, such as Archana, Vandana, Dasya, and Sakya, should be executed, but they must be preceded and followed by Kirtan, the chanting of the holy name. We have therefore introduced this system in all of our centers. Archana, Arati, Bhoga offering, deity dressing, and decoration are all preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Okay, oh yeah, this is as far as we got last week. Yeah, that's as far as we got last week. And here there is... Anyway, we'll go through it. The translation, well, the verse itself. Diksha Purvascharya Vidhi Apeksha Nakare Jiva Sparshe Achandala Sabare Udare. One does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lower stages, Chandala, can be delivered. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami explains Diksha in his Bhakti Sandarbha Anuchet 283. Divyajnanam yato dadyad kuryat papasya sankshayam tasmat dikshayati saprokta deshikais tatvakovidai. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scriptures knows this process as diksha. The regulative, okay, that's the translation of the verse. The regulative principles of diksha are explained in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 2, verse 2, 3 and 4, and the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchet 283. Is it being broadcast?
On the English.
Yeah. The Hindi Zoom?
I don't have access to Hindi.
Let me forward it to you. This should be it. So you have to choose the one for now. December the 13th, there's two. One for yesterday, one for now. Dwijanam anupetanam swakarmadya yanadishu yatadikaro nastiha syat chopana yanad anu tata tradikshatanam tu mantra dev archanadishu nadikaro sti yata kuryad atmanam shiva samstutam. Translation, even though born in a Brahmin family, one cannot engage in Vedic rituals without being initiated and having a sacred thread. Although born in a Brahmin family, one becomes a Brahmin. Just a sec. Yeah, okay. One becomes a Brahmin only after initiation and the sacred thread ceremony. So let's see. Can you hear? Or you should be able to hear, but on a lower level. See if you can. Yeah. I know. You can on a lower level though. Okay. According to the Vaishnava regulative principles, one must be initiated as a Brahmin. The Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 2, verse 6, quotes the following injunction from the Vishnu Yamala. Adikshitasya vamoru kritam sarvam niratakam pashu yonim avapnoti diksha vira hito jana. Unless one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, all his devotional activities are useless. A person who is not properly initiated can descend again into the animal species. Hare Krishna. Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 2, verse 10, further quotes, Ato gurum pranamyaivam sarvasvam vinivedya cha griniyad vaishnavam mantram dikshapuravam vidanata. It is the duty of every human being to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, giving him everything, body, mind, and intelligence. One must take Vaishnava initiation from him. The Bhaktisandarbha, verse 298, gives the following quotation from the Tattvasagara. Yata kanchana tam yati kamsyam rasa vidanata tata diksha vidanena dvijatvam jayate nrinam. By chemical manipulation, bell metal is turned into gold when touched by mercury. Similarly, when a person is properly initiated, he can acquire the qualities of a Brahmin. Yes, the Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, in discussing the Purushacharya process, quotes the following verses from the Agastya Samhita. Puja trikaliki nityam japastarpanam eva cha hamo brahmana buktis cha purushacharanam uchate guru labdasya mantrasya prasade na yatavidi panchan gopasana siddhyai puris chaitad vidyate, which means, in the morning, afternoon, and evening, one should worship the deity, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, offer oblations, perform a fire sacrifice, and feed the Brahmins. These nine activities constitute Purushacharya. To maintain full success when taking initiation from the spiritual master, one should first perform these Purushacharya processes. The word Pura means before, and Charya means activities. Due to the necessity of these activities, we do not initiate disciples in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We do not immediately initiate. For 6 months, a candidate for initiation must first attend Artian classes in the Shastras, practice the regulative principles, and associate with other devotees. When one is actually advanced in the Purushacharya Vidhi, he is recommended by the local temple president for initiation. It is not that anyone can be suddenly initiated without meeting the requirements. When one is further advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds, are you still there?
No, I left.
Oh, you left. Okay. Daily, when one is further advanced by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds daily, following the regulative principles and attending classes, he receives the sacred thread, brahminical recognition, after the second 6 months. So there's just so much, there's quite a bit more purport. We will continue next Sunday. Can you remember the spot?
Yes,
please. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.